Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to 4, that's the number 4, patriots.com/Ben to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. So right now, go to 4patriots.com/Ben. That's the number 4, patriots.com/Ben.
The big news. Hunter Biden has been indicted. Don't worry. The media is already covering for Hunter Biden, telling you on CNN that the case is actually, in their words, very weak. Yes, it's a weak case. Take a listen to what they had to say.
Allegations of politics is right, often coming from the former president himself in terms of what they say is a two-tier justice system. But here you have it, as we noted, first time in U.S. history, the son of a president has been charged by the Justice Department. Kara Scannell, thanks so much. Going to turn it over to Boris for some legal analysis.
Yeah, let's chat with CNN legal analyst Jennifer Rogers. Jennifer, obviously, again, this is a historic moment, the first time DOJ has charged the son of a sitting president. Your reaction to the news?
Well, Boris, I really think, you know, the first time we had a charge against a former president, it was important that prosecutors really took their time and built strong cases based on compelling evidence. And I'm the prosecutors have not done that here.
Okay. So within 5 seconds, you've got a legal analyst who's telling you that more than 150 suspicious activity reports is not evidence. Having a father that was having meetings with his son and phone calls and the big guy and funneling money in LLCs that had a no product at all to then funnel that money, meeting with the worst people in the world, receiving $5 million, shaking them down, text messages of shaking them down is not compelling evidence. Jennifer Rogers is the official CNN legal analyst. And she's just said that this case is a weak case, that there's just nothing here. There's nothing there, right? Listen how quickly the propaganda comes out. Immediately when she opens her mouth, it is telling the world that this is a weak case, these are weak charges. And by the way, forget all the other stuff. Let's just talk about this gun charges, okay? We have timestamps from his laptop of pictures of him doing drugs. We have messages about buying drugs. We have messages about selling drugs on the dates when he was buying the gun. We can see that he's a drug addict. Do you have even more evidence? Yes, he got kicked out of the military for failing a cocaine test. Never forget that. He was in the military. He got kicked out of the military because he failed a drug test for cocaine. That's all evidence. But CNN's legal team says, no, there's nothing good here. This is a weak case.
I really think, you know, the first time we had a charge against a former president, it was important that prosecutors really took their time and built strong cases based on compelling evidence. And I'm afraid the prosecutors have not done that here. I certainly, if I were making history, would not want to make it with this set of facts and these laws. I think that this case is weak. It's very, very rarely charged, this section on being an addict in possession of a weapon. So I think they have a lot of problems, both both on the factual side, which is why it's very rarely charged, and on the legal side. You know, after the Supreme Court's decision in the Bruin case on the Second Amendment, a lot of legal observers think that all these gun possession statutes are in jeopardy. And we know that Hunter Biden's lawyers will fight vigorously on the legal front, saying that after the Supreme Court's decision, that this conviction could not stand. So I think they've got a lot of trouble here ahead, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think it's inadvisable.
This is why people refer to CNN as the Communist News Network. They break the news. Federal gun charges against Hunter Biden, and they immediately tell you that there is no evidence and this is a weak case. I want to know what their definition of a strong case would be. And if they were actually somewhat journalistic, had some journalistic integrity, they would at least have somebody on to ask that question. Like, and if I was doing that segment with that CNN legal analyst, whatever the hell her name is, I would have said, okay, tell me what a good case looks like. Tell me what a strong case looks like. If you're saying this case is weak, having pictures of him doing drugs, having text messages of him ordering drugs, having people talk about how he's on drugs, having people around him sending him messages worried about his drug use, having him buy a gun, having his ex-sister-in-law, who's now turned lover, telling him he doesn't want him to have a gun and trying to hide the gun from him because he's a drug addict and she doesn't want him to off himself or do or harm himself or do something terrible with that gun. That's why she threw it away in the dumpster. Remember, it was not because she was committing a crime. It was because she didn't think, as a drug addict, he should have the gun. So the question I would then ask on this gun charge is, what does a strong case look like? Like, you've got the timestamps of when the gun was bought. You have timestamps at the same time of the drug use and the drug abuse. You have him lying on the form. Hell, you have him in his own book talking about how during this time he was addicted to drugs. In his own book. You have family members on the record, on audio and video, talking about his son's, about his drug abuse during this time. So what would a strong case look like? Would you need to, and I'm wondering, like, where do we draw the line from this being, quote, as they described, a weak case to a strong case? Does it have to be a Republican to be a strong case? Is that the difference here? Because if that's the difference, then at least state that. Like, look, if this is a Republican, we would obviously put him in jail for the rest of his life. Because I'll go back to the first impeachment when she talked about them, you know, they talked about, you know, cases against presidents and former presidents. She's clearly referring to Trump. What was the first case against Donald J. Trump? It was Russian collusion. It was based on the Steele dossier. It was created out of thin air and paid for by the Hillary Clinton for president campaign. The other part of that dossier was paid for by the Democratic National Committee, who was in charge of trying to get their candidate elected to president of the United States of America, which at that time was Hillary Rodham Clinton. When they were impeaching Donald Trump and calling for investigations at the FBI, and then they started investigating Donald J. Trump, the FBI had already classified the Steele dossier as user-generated material, user-generated propaganda, meaning that the person who gave them the information they believed made the information up out of thin air. But even if that wasn't enough, the FBI offered Christopher Steele $1 million to corroborate anything in his dossier. He never did it because he couldn't, because he made it up. It's like writing a movie script. He wrote the most outlandish political movie script for a political campaign you could write. And then they gave it to the media, and the media ran with it. The same media that's now telling you this is a weak case. It's a weak case, claiming that this is rarely charged, this section. And then there's another aspect of this. Are liberals actually in favor of tough gun control laws, which they yell, scream, rant, and rave about every time there's a mass shooting in this country? They want to take away your right to own a firearm if you deal with mental health issues, if you deal with depression. They want to be able to come in and do a psych evaluation on you at any point and take away every gun you've got. They want to be able to have ex-wives or ex-girlfriends or ex-boyfriends or ex-husbands or ex-employers be able to turn you in if they believe you're mentally unstable and unfit to have a firearm. They want to have a society that was like Germany back in World War II, where you're spying on your neighbors, telling on your neighbors. We already know that, by the way, because they were doing that in the Catholic Church and trying to recruit parishioners to spy on their Catholic worship partners. in church, other parishioners. We know that this government also believes that you're a domestic terrorist if you go to a school board meeting and you're angry over them indoctrinating your kids in transgender and radical ideas like drag queen shows and disgusting, vile books on sexual interactions with extreme issues in it. And if you show up and there's a dude that assaults your child in the women's bathroom because that dude's a dude, not a chick, and you get angry at that school board meeting, the feds will arrest you. They'll take you out in handcuffs. That happened in Virginia. And then they'll classify anybody else standing up for that father whose daughter was sexually assaulted in the bathroom by a man claiming to be a woman in high school, that you are now a domestic terrorist. You should be treated the same, I guess, as a member of Al-Qaeda. So if there was an argument to be made on CNN that should have been made by somebody on the other side, it would have been, what does a strong case look like? Is it only a Republican that makes a strong case if it's Democrats not? Or did you have to have a confessional video of Hunter Biden looking at the camera saying, broadcasting it to the world, "Hi, I'm Hunter Biden. I'm about to take cocaine. And then I'm walking into the store and I'm going to live stream me filling out this form and then buying the gun." Oh, wait, we basically have that. We have videos of him doing drugs, and then we have the date of when he went and bought the gun. By the way, the Democrats knew this was a big deal, and how do we know that? After the gun was thrown away in the dumpster, and then the quick, fast search to find that gun was thrown away in a dumpster behind a school by his lover, ex-sister-in-law, who threw that away, that gun of Hunter Biden's. The Secret Service also, if you remember, even though Joe Biden was no longer the vice president and did not have Secret Service protection, two Secret Service agents showed up at that gun store asking to get the forms back. And that gun store owner was brave and said, "You can go to hell. You have no jurisdiction in here. I do not have to hand you the paperwork of Hunter Biden. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to cover up a crime and make it all go away before it becomes an issue." Never forget that part of the story, because that's part of the most damning part of the cover-up of this story. But hey, if you're watching CNN, their words, this case is weak. I thought Democrats were tough on guns. I guess it's only if it's a Republican.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
We are lucky to be sitting with Alan and Amy Matthews in the flesh, William, Rusty Russ, and Betsy Randall.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
When those legends get here, let me know.
You're here already.
No.
We didn't either when we were watching this. That's the
problem.
We
didn't realize it until we started getting into seasons 3 and 4. And now we're like, oh my God.
You were both so good on the show and we missed it because we were young.
We were kids and so self-involved.
Egomaniacs. Yeah. And didn't realize how great you were.
We've talked about it. I think you just assumed everybody was as good as them.
And then you get into,
as you grow up and you work with other actors, you realize how lucky we were to have you guys.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to also go back to a reminder of how many lies have been told by the Bidens. I mean, it's a hell of a lot of them. And how many lies have been told by the media in the past. Same media that's now telling you the gun charges are weak charges against Hunter Biden. They picked only charges that would insulate Hunter from any type of investigation that would connect him to his father. But let me just remind you of all the corruption in the Biden family that we know of as of now.
I've never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses.
President Biden met with at least 14 of Hunter's business associates while he was vice president.
Then Vice President Joe Biden had dinner with his son Hunter along with Hunter's business associates from Ukraine, Russia, and Kazakhstan. And the day after the dinner, a Burisma executive sent a note to Hunter, quoting, "Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together."
Hunter's lucrative business dealings often included giving as much as 50% of his earnings to his dad.
The text read, quote, "I hope you all can do what I did and pay for everything for this entire family for 30 years. It's really hard, but don't worry. Unlike Pop, I won't make you give me half your salary."
His son, Hunter, joining the then vice president on the official visit to Beijing. Unknown to the press back then, Hunter Biden was forming a Chinese private equity fund, planning to raise money, including from Chinese investors. 10 days after the Biden's trip, Shanghai authorities issued the fund's business license.
And Hunter introduced me as, this is Tony, Dad, the individual I told you about that's helping us with the business that we're working on and the Chinese.
The email reads this way, quote, "At the moment, there's a provisional agreement that the equity will be distributed as follows. 10 held by Hunter for the big guy."
I 1,000% sit here and know that the big guy is referencing Joe Biden. I met with the former vice president in person multiple times.
A newly revealed text message shows Bob Alinsky was apparently warned by business partner James Gillier, "Don't mention Joe being involved. It's only when you are face to face. I know you know that, but they are paranoid."
Chinese executives admitted to reporters that they were actually introduced to the vice president by Hunter Biden.
Hunter and the then vice president seen with a pair of Mexican billionaires. At the same time, Hunter had been working on energy deals in Mexico.
Joe Biden also had Hunter and his business partner fly on Air Force Two to Mexico.
His closest business partner, Hunter, has made at least 19 visits to the White House and other official locations, including a sit-down with then Vice President Joe Biden in the West Wing.
There is photographic evidence of Biden on a golf outing with both his son, Hunter, and a man called Devin Archer, who was another member of the Burisma board.
We also know that Devin Archer in that picture had a meeting in the White House, one-on-one meeting with Joe Biden about a week before they joined the Burisma board.
Before they joined the Burisma board, because remember, it wasn't just the money coming into Joe Biden, the $5 million, and the $5 million for his son. It was also his business partner who was on the board at Burisma, who was then getting his millions and millions of dollars by sitting on that board. And a week before they were on that board in Ukraine, in Burisma, he went and met one-on-one with the Vice President of the United States of America, Joe Biden. So let's just go back to this news. When it broke, MSNBC came out, and MSNBC was like, we have breaking news here, right? This is a big deal. Hunter Biden indicted in Delaware. Then immediately CNN's downplaying it, saying the charges are, of course, very weak. Very weak charges. You notice that everything I just played for you, none of it involves any of the other corruption on the actual crimes committed by the vice president, now president of the United States of America. But MSNBC is trying to play it up like this is so damning, like this is justice in a sense for the Biden family.
Breaking news now. We have just learned and we just got the paperwork that Hunter Biden, the president's son, has been indicted for lying when buying a gun. I want to bring in NBC's Garrett Hake. Garrett, what can you tell us?
Well, Chris, this indictment just unsealed in Delaware charges Hunter Biden with three counts, all related to that gun purchase. It describes two counts of knowingly making a false or fictitious statement when purchasing a gun, basically accusing him of lying about being addicted to drugs at the time he was purchasing this weapon, a pistol, in October of 2018. And the third count is that he did knowingly possess that same firearm while being addicted to a controlled substance. So these are counts that were all thought to have been dealt with in that plea deal that fell apart a couple of months ago, kicking things back to the U.S. attorney, now special counsel. Weiss handling this in Delaware, a former U.S. attorney in the District of Delaware. Again, this indictment on Field dealing only with the gun and drug charges. I think it's reasonable to presume we have not heard the last of charges against the president's son, given the scope of what was originally in front of the U.S. attorney and then kind of fallen apart, back to the drawing board to bring forward these counts now.
I got to say, I totally disagree with MSNBC there. I think they're full of crap. I think they're trying to act like this is a full, hardcore investigation, which it clearly isn't.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
We are lucky to be sitting with Alan and Amy Matthews in the flesh, William, Rusty Russ, and Betsy Randall.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
When those legends get here, let me know.
You're here. You're here already.
We didn't either when we were watching this.
That's the problem.
We didn't realize
it
until we started getting into seasons 3 and 4. And now we're like, oh my God.
You were both so good on the show. And we missed it because we were young.
We were kids and so self-involved.
Egomaniacs. Yeah. And didn't realize how great you were.
We've talked about it. I think you just assumed everybody was as good as them. And,
right.
and then
right.
you get into, right. as you grow up and you work with other actors, you realize how lucky we were to have you guys.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
There's also something else very interesting that just happened, and that is the White House has now moved the goalposts for the third time on the involvement of Joe Biden with Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family. Remember, at first it was Joe Biden has never talked about business with his family. His son or anyone, his brother, anybody in the family. He always made sure that that never happened, right? That was what they said. Then, about a month ago, they changed that narrative to he was never in business. That was how they described it. He was never in business with his son. And everybody's like, whoa. That like had a brain like me and others that were like, whoa, whoa, hold on a second. You guys just completely admitted now that they talked business. And now you're saying, well, it's not about talking business, right? It's now about being in business. They've now changed it a third time. And it was a very quick check the box admission, okay, from White House's spokesman, White House counsel's office. Okay, so this is the legal representative of the presidency, Ian Sams. He's a spokesman in the White House counsel's office. And this is what he had to say on CNN as he was talking about this new indictment of the president's son. And notice and listen carefully. He's now admitting that not only did Joe Biden help his son, but he actually attended Hunter Biden's business meetings. And the reason why is because, quote, he loves him. So now they're saying, okay, they did talk business. He was on the phone talking about the weather. That was the excuse a week or two ago. And now it's, okay, we're admitting that Joe Biden did, in fact, attend business meetings with Hunter Biden that made him millions and millions of dollars. But he only did because he loved him. Nothing nefarious here. Listen carefully.
Other allegations is the president was present at some of the meetings between Hunter Biden and his business associates. Why was the president at those meetings on those phone calls?
Well, again, I think this is part of the right wing's misinformation machine to try to confuse people about what the truth is. The truth is that the president, as he has said publicly for years, calls his family every day to check in. He calls his son every day to check in. He calls his other family members to check in to see how they're doing. He loves them. They're a tight-knit family. And what the GOP's own witness testified in this case is that that's exactly what the president was doing. He was checking in with Hunter during a particularly hard time, I might add, a time where the family was going through Hunter's brother Beau's illness. And of course the president checks in with his son and talks to him. But again, that witness testified no business dealings of Hunter Biden's or anyone's was discussed in these conversations. And so again, they're trying to make this sort of strange connection when their own investigation has disproven these claims.
Before I let you go.
By the way, that's just not true. You notice he didn't answer the question. The question was, why was Joe Biden attending Hunter Biden business meetings? That was the question. Then he went to, well, they checked in with each other every day. So your son's in a business meeting and you drive across town as the vice president with Secret Service to go check in on him to make sure he's okay during the middle of a business meeting. Does anyone believe that? Of course not. And if you do, you're an idiot. So listen to the follow-up question here from CNN, because what CNN should have done, again, if they weren't scumbag journalists, fake journalists, communist journalists, propagandists for the Biden administration, he would have cut him off in the middle of that answer and said, Ian, the spokesperson for the White House counsel's office, I didn't ask you about checking in on his son. I asked you about why was he in business meetings. That's the question I'm asking you. Notice how they didn't. They just let him put out the propaganda. And then listen to this.
Has the president responded, in terms of how the president has reacted to this, especially as somebody who's been in politics and been in Washington for as long as he has been, the idea that he is now subject to an impeachment inquiry as president of the United States, what's his response to that?
You know, the president has been in politics for a long time, and I think, as he would say, he's seen a lot of malarkey along the way, but this might take the cake. You know, he's focused on the issues that actually matter to the American people. You just saw him spending the last week traveling around the world, shoring up our alliances, advancing national interests in Asia, our economic interests in Asia, showing American leadership on the world stage. He's coming back here. He's announcing today $250 million investment in cancer research to try to finally cure cancer. That's what his administration and this president is focused on every day. They're focused on the actual needs of the American people. And I think what he would say is maybe the House Republicans should join him.
You know,
I laugh at this one. You know you're in political trouble when you decide randomly on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, hey, let's announce we're going to cure cancer. By the way, I'm in favor of curing cancer. I'm in favor of research and development to get treatments and drugs that protect people and help people that have cancer. Everybody I know knows somebody that's been affected by cancer. But to then use as a political pawn, like, all right, guys, we need a victory here. We're starting to take on water. What do we do? All right, let's cure cancer. Great, great idea. Okay, let's get back some Americans somewhere in the world. Who's got some American hostages we can get back? Oh, there's Iran. Okay, great. What does it take to do that? Give them some really bad guys back and then give them $6 billion. And then we can claim we got Americans back. We're fighting for Americans. Okay, great. Let's do that. I mean, the idea that the White House has now changed the goalposts again. Joe Biden attended Hunter's business meetings where they were making millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars only because, quote, he loves him. This is a love story, right? It's a father who loves his son who would just happen to show up at a meeting where him showing up at that meeting would make them $10 million. But he wasn't there for the business. He was there to check on his son. Right? Like they're checking. They're checking on his son. Special counsel David Weiss, by the way, you want to know what he's saying about all this? This is the same guy that gave the sweetheart deal, who worked in the same law firm that was representing Hunter Biden, who then switched sides, who's then protecting Hunter Biden, who gave him the immunity sweetheart deal, that then got blown up, who's now the special counsel. What does he have to say?
Special counsel Weiss only releasing a paper statement staying mum about the charges when pressed by NBC News. But a spokesperson for the special counsel's office says the investigation continues.
Oh, well, that's encouraging, right? No comment. So the guy that gave the deal that was one hell of a deal, who then only charges him with the crimes that protect the father, then says no comment all of a sudden on all of this. No comment, right? Like, this is no comment here. Former White House press secretary, now propagandist at MSNBC, Jen Psaki, came out saying she's heartbroken for the president, heartbroken for Joe Biden, who's in the White House, who's now worried about his son. Heartbroken. You should feel bad for this old man in the White House. They're now going to play the age card, the grandpa card, the dad card, and that he's heartbroken and you should give him a hug.
His charges, the presumption of innocence operates for both of them. Due process rights operate for both of them. And, we shouldn't take delight in other people's misfortunes, but we have to have a rule of law.
I mean, we have to have a rule of law, Mika and Joe. It's such a relief to hear that from people, including when it's about, it just said, somebody who is right. Very close to the president. I mean, first and foremost, the politics of this are a little hard to predict. But right now you have the president's son, somebody he loves deeply, somebody who has very publicly struggled with drug addiction, now facing these charges, which are serious, and I'll let Andrew do a contemplation of the legality and the process and all of that, which I know a lot of us have questions on. What is tricky to watch here, and what I think we all will be watching, is what do Republicans do with this on the Hill as it relates to their impeachment process baloney efforts, right? We didn't see a lot of that yesterday, a lot of the tying of these charges to their impeachment efforts. If there are additional charges that we see from the Department of Justice that Andrew just alluded to, I suspect they would try to do that. But right now, what we're looking at, and I think on the politics of this, you know, millions of Americans have dealt with family members who have dealt with drug addiction, who've dealt with alcohol addiction, who have dealt with a range of addiction. My bet is right now this is a heartbroken president in the White House who is worried about his son. And we're all watching to see kind of what happens with this. So, Andrew, well, my question.
I love this, right? We are looking at a heartbroken old man. And you need to think about everybody you know that's had too much to drink or taken drugs. And you need to understand that this really isn't a crime to go buy a gun and lie. I thought Democrats were tough on guns. I thought they were tough on gun crimes. I thought they were in favor of mandatory minimums for any type of gun crime. These are the same people that will tell you you don't have the right to own the firearm that Hunter Biden purchased. They're the same Democrats that will say they want to ban the gun that Hunter Biden purchased. They're the same people that say we need to get rid of the loopholes on background checks. Like, that's something we must do. And White House Press Secretary, former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, not hard on gun crimes, because this is a gun crime. Not saying that, you know, there has to be accountability for this. You can't just throw a gun in a dumpster and hopefully and a kid possibly pick it up, or a criminal, and then they go kill somebody with it, right? No, you can't lie on the form. And when you're getting a background check, because they're obsessed with background checks, universal background checks, you got to have background checks, the loopholes, they go nuts on background checks. Well, here's your chance to back it up and say, yes, background checks matter. And they should, if you lie on a background check, you deserve to be prosecuted. They're not saying that. They're saying we have a president that's heartbroken and a son who's dealing with addiction. And God bless them. And let's give them a hug. And let's just make all this go away, because this is just too mean to the president of the United States of America. And they're hoping that's going to work with enough Americans that it'll be at least 50 plus 1% that are on their team on this one. This is a math equation for them. This is their best defense they've got. Make sure that you share this podcast with your family and friends. Hit that little forward arrow and text it or put it on social media so other people can hear about this story about how dangerous our open border is. While the media does everything it can to try to shut you down, silence us, and make sure no one knows what's really happening. Also, hit that auto-download or subscribe button so you get this podcast each and every day for free, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. Two-thirds of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to four patriots.com/Ben to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. So right now, go to fourpatriots.com/Ben. That's the number fourpatriots.com/Ben.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.